Okay, so. Okay, so we had started talking about this Isser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach, and you got to see now some of the basic positions as to why it's there, which address also a little bit the question of whether it's a din min haTorah or a din midrabanan. Chances are it's presumably a din derabanan. Chances are it's presumably a din derabanan, but we saw that there are some who attach it to a pasuk in one sense or another. That Sefer HaRokeach attaches it to the idea of Korban Pesach, and that Korban Pesach has to wait for night. So if matzah is associated with that, and matzah is a zecher for the Korban Pesach, so matzah also is going to have to wait until night and not before. And the Bahag that noted the language of the pasuk that we read on Shabbos of Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, Erev specifically and not early. So does that mean that it's actually a din min haTorah? Hard to say, but the idea that there is at least some kind of a connection to Pesukim, if that's the way it is an interesting one. And other Rishonim had different explanations. So we saw that the Meiri connected it to the idea of Teyavon, which would be the strongest connection to the other dinim in the Mishnah, that if the Mishnah is telling us, it's the way Rashi and the Rashbam understand it, that we shouldn't be eating too much close to the Seder because of our desire to preserve Teyavon. So here, matzah, which tastes exactly like the food that we're trying to preserve our appetite for, so therefore we have to go back a little further and a little more absolutely. So the prohibition that's more intense of matzah and Erev Pesach would still stem from that. And the Rambam's position was that it's about the heker, that we want to have some kind of a indication that the matzah that we're eating at night is matzah's mitzvah, it is not just something that we're doing because we want to, and therefore we need to create a break, perhaps evocative of the break that we have on Erev Rosh Hashanah between the customary tekiyas of Elul and the chiyuv of Rosh Hashanah itself. So these different theories probably impact on the question of when does this issur begin? So we saw that there are at least two views as to when we start having a prohibition to eat matzah. And one was the Baal HaMor. And the Baal HaMor understood that it starts with the issur chametz. And from that point on, in the rest of the afternoon, that's when you have a Isser to eat matzah. And the Ramban disagreed. And the Magen Mishnah, if you had a chance to see, the Magen Mishnah also assumes that the Rambam is like the Ramban on this, and that the prohibition covers the whole day. So what's driving these positions? Why would you say one way or the other? Why would you say that the Isser should start specifically when chametz is prohibited? Why would you say it should go back further than that? What would be the drive to have one interpretation or the other? Any suggestions? Zach?
I was thinking maybe it's kind of like, has it with like residual kedusha, like we saw a little bit about the 30 day before the chag. If you can offer it for Pesach by Chatzos that day only, so maybe the kedusha of that day only goes to then, and then the prohibition of matzah, like you don't have to be concerned on matzah from that time on.
Why should that part be true?
Because it's like, just like you don't have to search for chametz, you leave the house 30 days, like before 30 days, because it's not shy at Pesach at that point anyway. So too here, before Chatzos, if we're not chayav in the Kor Pesach at all yet, So then we're not shy to miss a
month.
We don't have to worry about it for the
table. So let's just flesh that out a little bit, because it's interesting you mentioned the 30 days, because the 30 days is about when the mitzvah is relevant at all. Right? Like we discussed in the first parak, that the idea that from 30 days on, that's when the obligation of bedikah starts. And if you plan on leaving your house and not coming back before 30 days before Pesach, then you're not obligated in bedikah. And that notion, which connects to the idea of shol and udorshin, and we're supposed to start talking about the yontif 30 days before, that there is a zone that begins in those previous 30 days. So mitzvos that are relevant to the yontif have basically an effect, have kicked in on some level at that point. So if that's the case, so that's actually probably relevant to the minig, right? That many have a minig to not eat matzah for the month before. So where do they get that from? So presumably it correlates to that idea. But as far as the din, the more binding obligation to avoid matzah, so what does that come from? So to say it comes from only when the Korban Pesach is active, so how does that fill in the last step? So only when the Korban Pesach is active, then it becomes relevant, it becomes meaningful. Okay, Sam?
If you're talking about when it becomes relevant or becomes meaningful, I would think maybe it would be the other way, meaning the distinction between the two mitzvahs. Well, meaning, well, whether you need to make a distinction.
Okay. Because you say that if you're working off the definition that the issue is you want to make a distinction between Rishus and Chiyuv, so then, okay. So then
I think if we're comparing it to, if it's connected to, like Korban Pesach, it would seem to make more sense that it would be, the reasoning would be why you wouldn't have matzah, why having matzah earlier in the day would be not meaningful, but later would be problematic, wouldn't be this idea of you want to make a distinction between the mitzvahs and not the teyavon.
So if teyavon, so I think we think that teyavon maybe is more just subjective to your appetite. So if we're worried about teyavon, then we should probably just define it by that. It doesn't matter about any other factors other than how long it takes you to develop an appetite. When are you going to start missing matzah? Okay, I haven't had matzah in a day, so now maybe I have a little bit of an appetite for it. But if it's only been a few hours, it's not really going to kick in too much of a desire for matzah. So let's put that in one box, right? That if it's about teyavon, so then presumably it's not really so logically tied in to any other consideration other than appetite, right? Which also defines the other din in the Mishnah, the question of when you're avoiding eating completely or avoiding eating big food completely, how far back do you have to go? So the Mishnah says samach l'mincha, but the Gemara also tells us that some would start earlier, or sheishus would fast all day. So there's a subjective component there, that if you need all day in order to get enough of an appetite, so then that would indicate going back further. So when it comes to matzah, so matzah has its own aspect of connecting to the teyavon of actual matzah. So therefore, let's define it by what do I need to create my appetite. So probably then you probably say the day, I would imagine, which also could connect to the whole minig, where we just mentioned the minig of waiting a month. So what's that minig about? We know minhagim always have to have a logic to them. We venerate minhagim. Minhagim are very important, but we assume that they have a reflection of a certain din. So they have to somehow enhance a din. So how does the minig here add to what we have already? So Zach mentioned the month is when the zone kicks in, and that's probably one angle. But also you could say, listen, if the whole idea is I want to have an appetite for matzah that I won't have if I've had it too recently. So, you know, maybe most people could go a day or two without thinking about matzah. So just going off a day is not going to necessarily trigger any great appetite. A month already? Okay. Maybe I haven't had matzah in a month. Maybe that's going to enhance it. At least it's relevant, right? The longer that you add on to the time, the more you are increasing some kind of a longing for matzah. While if it's just about creating a hecker, it's harder to see why there's any value in going past one day. Again, the minig is a whole different level, but the minig presumably is building on something that is meaningful to whatever the din is about. So the Rishonim, who talk about nailing it down to a specific time, especially the Baal Hamor. So the Baal Hamor assumes it's from the afternoon. Why? Because that's when the Isser Chametz starts. And even the Ramban, who disagrees with him, right, the Rambam, who seems to be like the Ramban, but the Rambam doesn't explain it, so the Magen Mishnah's interpretation. But the Ramban, who is addressing the Baal Hamor, according to the Ramban, it's also about the Isser Chametz, but because we have an obligation of Bedikas Chametz and Bira Chametz already from the beginning of the day, so the whole day is an anti-Chametz day, and therefore Matzah can come in as a prohibition also. So what's the connection between the Isser Chametz and not eating Matzah? And the Baal Hamor makes reference to this strange comparison of the Talmud Yerushalmi that eating matzah on Erev Pesach is kebol arusasa beis chamav, like somebody who's with his betrothed before they're actually fully married, before they have nisuin. So how do you understand that comparison? What exactly is the message there? And the whole puzzle together here, that comparison and also the connection to the Isser Chametz, why should that be? Any further thoughts? Yes, Sam?
Maybe like by matzah, like both actions, both eating, not eating Chametz, or eating whatever, not eating Chametz and eating matzah are both necessary, like to achieve the same goal. So to do one at the other time would be like contradictory, and same by marriage, if like you need both to achieve the goal and eating something which you're not supposed to at the same time, like almost rejects or whatever person.
So let me see if I understand correctly. So when it comes to marriage, so you need first to prohibit the whole rest of the world. Right? That's what Kiddushin, we call Erusin, does. That you decide that the whole rest of the world is excluded. And then Nisuin is what makes the marriage complete. So you need those two stages. So here too, when it comes to matzah, so we have, first we say Chametz is off the table. Literally and figuratively. And that prohibits everything. And then we need actually Pesach to start to bring matzah onto the table. So if we're going to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, it's going to jump the gun. And it's going to somehow compromise the experience. Which does seem to emerge from these comparisons, although it's still, it's a little interesting because the mashal is not perfect. You know, matzah was mutter before, well, when it comes to Erusin, so other women were not permitted before, and other men were not permitted to her before, so it's more narrowing down. Well, here, matzah first has to become usser and then become mutter. So the parallel is a little off, but it's got to be something like that that we're talking about. Yeah?
I think it might be more than just jumping the gun, but it, I mean, I guess you're doing it too early, but by doing it too early, it's not just like you, like a false starter. It's like your what you did before becomes meaningless because you did it too early. Meaning by, like, let's say by Kedushin, like you're supposed, like even though everyone is, I mean, potentially, even though like everyone's supposed to be also, but maybe it's a mindset. I'm not exactly sure why you'd be doing it before, but potentially maybe it's like you actually get married, you need the mindset of like enforcing the Isser or something like that. And if by rejecting that am I saying it right?
Well, let's actually build on that, because, you know, if you want to take the comparison to marriage, right, so the whole idea in the Rambam, as he describes the whole history of Kiddushin and Nisuin, so the whole idea is that before the Torah was given, the way he describes it in Hilchos Shishus, people just decided they wanted to live together, and they did, and that was it. And there's no commitment, and there's no seriousness. So the Torah required that, no, if that's what you want, there has to first be an expression of commitment and seriousness and focus. So all of that has to come first. So to start the relationship without that is a defect in the relationship, and is a defect in really the whole goal. So perhaps there's some comparison on that level, that when the mitzvah of matzah is supposed to take place Pesach night, so the Torah wants it to be within a certain context, and the Isser of Chametz is relevant to understanding the mitzvah of matzah, and therefore all of that creates a certain process, and if we compromise that process, there's something that is flawed. Perhaps. Right? And perhaps it goes a little bit to understanding that relationship, the whole question that we're talking about whether matzah is just not chametz, is matzah something positive? Is it some combination of both? So what's also possibly relevant, I think Soloveitchik made a point along these lines, is that you could raise the question that does matzah really exist as a concept, as a halachic concept, until there's an Isser Chametz? Do we really relate to matzah as halachic matzah, at least as far as Pesach is concerned, without a concept of chametz to define it? So if chametz is mutter, so then maybe there isn't really a distinction between chametz and matzah that's going to make matzah relevant, which is also maybe something to think about. Right? Yes, yeah, I'm sorry.
Could there potentially be, if you hold like that though, and yes, you're of like, I mean, it sounds real silly, but like the shmaf, like if the matzah just appears in the calendar, which, like, obviously you need to like think retroactively, but once you think like retroactively, then are you like,
the matzah existed before Pesach. How could you have matzah created? How could you have matzah made, the Shema, if it doesn't mean anything? Right, so clearly you're working towards that, but it's not going to attain the halachic status of matzah on some level. It's a little bit of a chiddush to say like this, but that somehow the prohibition of chametz comes to define the idea of matzah as significant. It could also be, so I want to say for that mention, that if somebody eats matzah 2 days before Pesach, when they could be eating chametz, so then who knows? Okay, so they're eating in general, but specifically once chametz is usher, so now they're kind of forced to look for matzah in order to eat. So maybe that confuses a little bit what's the mitzvah of matzah and what is it. If we want to create a hecker, like the Rambam says, we want to create a distinction between the voluntary eating of matzah and the obligatory eating of matzah. So perhaps when I don't have the option of eating chametz, there's more of a focus on my eating matzah, and maybe that blurs things a little bit more. Perhaps. A lot of different possibilities to explore. It's interesting also that if you're learning Daf Yomi, it's about a week ago, you saw the beginning of Tamid Nishchat. So it emerges from Rashi and Tosfos that when you have a situation like this year, where they have Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios B'Shavis, that they would give out the Lechem HaPanim on that Erev Shabbos too, which was Erev Pesach, even though they had matzah. So how were they serving matzah on Erev Pesach? Meshech Achma raises this question in Parshas Zemor. So he has a couple of suggestions. One suggestion he has is that maybe it's like not Shomer Matzah, it's mitzvah matzah that wasn't protected for the purposes of the Kiyum Mitzvah of Matzah. So the same way, like our Tosfos says, you could have egg matzah on Erev Pesach because you can't fulfill the mitzvah. So too, this wouldn't have been valid for the mitzvah of matzah, and that's going to allow it. Problem is it really comparable to egg matzah? If we assume, like Tosfos, that egg matzah is permissible on Erev Pesach, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, so would that apply to all matzah that you're not yotze with? Yeah, Sam?
Presumably you can make a distinction. I don't think I've had a concept recently, but I assume in case
taste, right. So that seems to be an issue. Right? The Mesher Chachma himself mentions that as an objection to his own point, that egg matzah tastes different. If we're trying to preserve the taste of matzah, so egg matzah tastes different. But matzah that's just matzah, but it's not for the purposes of the mitzvah of matzah, it's not going to taste any different. So is that still enough of a distinction? So it could be if you're purely focused on the hecker, like the Rambam, if it's not about the taste, it's just about creating a dividing line between the mitzvah of matzah and the voluntary matzah. So if it's matzah that you couldn't use for the mitzvah, maybe that's enough. But if it's about the time of the mitzvah, it's a little harder to say. So ultimately, he suggests in the Mesher Chachma that it's just, well, you have a mitzvah minat Torah there, and presumably staying away from matzah Erev Pesach is a derabanan, so the mitzvah minat Torah is going to be more important. So also, you could speculate as far as trying to create a heker for the mitzvah, so maybe a different mitzvah, you don't have to worry so much. Perhaps. Okay, so those are some of the possible angles to how to try to understand this comparison. And it's something that has particular relevance this year because we're going to have an Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos situation, and we'll revisit the topic around then as far as its practicalities. But this is one of the major issues. How are we able to be Yotzei Shal Shudas on that Erev Shabbos? Around that Shabbos, Erev Pesach, we need to have two sutas of bread that day, and the Yisro Chametz is already in the morning. It's hard enough to squeeze in one suda. How do you squeeze in two sudas? I don't know if any of you remember the last time it was Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, about 13 years ago, while young. So it's a complicated halachic issue. How exactly do you squeeze them all in? So that issue is got practical issues. So the question of matzah shiro or other options is one that has particular relevance this year, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The idea of preserving the tam, especially, we'll just also note that the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin talks about having matzah in one gulp. If you try to swallow down the matzah, so the Gemara says you're yotze if you just swallow it without really chewing. And the Rashbam writes you're yotze b'diavad, but it's not really l'chachila because you don't taste the matzah. So the idea that the tam matzah has a particular role in the mitzvah, which all connects to everything we've been considering so far, also ties into this. Okay, any questions about that? Make sense? Okay, so with that, let's now segue into a new issue, a major Shas issue, and a major practical issue that's relevant all year round. And it has to do with the concept of beginning Shabbos and Yom Tov early. And its particular relevance to Pesach. So here there's a lot to say. I gave you a few makoros to start looking at, but there's a lot more, as we'll see. There's a lot of fascinating stuff about this. But if you saw the Tosfos, Ad Shetechshach, what issue does that Tosfos bring up? This is a major practical question, all right? Okay, so let's give some background about that, right? So this Tosfos brings us into this whole story, and let's give a little bit of background. So Tosfos is just picking up on the language of the Mishnah, because if the Mishnah is just trying to tell us that we shouldn't eat too much before the Seder, so then let it say, don't eat before you start your Seder, whatever time that is, don't eat too much. But the language is specifically Ad Shetechshach. So you're not, the assumption being that you're not going to eat until it's dark. So Tosfos asks, why is that the assumption? Haven't they ever heard of Tosefes? We know that, especially in the summertime, we experience this. Now it's winter, so we feel it less. But as we'll see, it's not even really a difference halakhically, that the concept applies all year round, but we are more aware of it during the summertime, that there is a notion of starting Shabbos and Yontif early. So that we're all experienced with. We've seen, let's say, during the summertime, that, setting aside for a second the mitzvah that's involved, that we'll talk about in a second, but we know at least as far as practicalities are concerned, that it's possible to start Shabbos early. And when it comes to Pesach, so it's already a few months from now, or a few weeks from now, it's already getting a little bit later. And nowadays in America, we change the clock by day. So it's going to be significantly later. And we know that we have a goal the whole time of trying to keep the kids awake. And it would help if we didn't have to wait so long to start the Seder. So why is the Mishnah assuming that the Mishnah, that the Seder is starting after dark? Maybe like a Friday afternoon in July, we started early. So that is the question that brings us into this whole discussion of Tosafos. So Tosafos starts with the assumption that it's possible to, on a regular Friday night, start Shabbos early and have our meal then. So why don't we do the same thing when it comes to the Seder? Why is the Mishnah assuming that we can't? So Tosfos here runs with that assumption that we can't. We'll discuss a little bit more that not all of the Rishonim agreed, but let's work with that assumption for now, that indeed you can't. You can't start early. So why is it different than Shabbos? And what does Tosfos conclude? And actually, it's not so clear that Shabbos is different. Right, there's two answers in Tosfos. Right? So Tosfos says, "Achetachshach, makshid in amay yisrach achetachshach." Why do we need to say that only until dark? Pshita. So isn't that obvious? And then maybe it's not so obvious. The old Gemara Rabbi Shabbosim told him, "Loksanila," that we don't find this requirement for Shabbos and Yantif in general. So one answer in Tosfos is that we require dark, particularly for matzah. That's the difference. That a regular Shabbos and Yantif in Achanami, it's a different thing. But when it comes to matzah, that makes things different. The time is shemdechsev yichlu asabasa b'layilu hazeh. Right again, last week's parsha. But matzer mar iskeshu lePesach. So in this past week's parsha, we read about Karban Pesach being at night, and matzah and mar are connected to that. So therefore, it's a local Pesach issue. So yeah, regular Shabbos, regular Yontif. Yeah, but not Pesach night. Kid as of Abasuda Shabbos Yom Tovim. But on a regular Friday night, yeah, you can have your meal earlier. Gemara is explicit in the fourth parak of Brachos that you can make Kiddush during the daytime. So apparently, the Gemara is saying, black on white, that there's no problem on a Friday night having your meal early. We'll see that it's not necessarily the only way to read that Gemara. But that's what Tosfos is assuming, that the Gemara basically tells us that you can have your Friday night meal early. So Pesach is different because of this requirement of matzah. Okay. So that's the first answer in Tosfos. However, now skip a few lines. So Rabbi Yehuda tirates afilu iboinen gabi shabosim tov machetashach. So the second answer in Tosfos is no, it's not so pashut that even on a regular Shabbos and Yontif you could do this. and that maybe there is no difference. And here it's just a technical reason why the language has to be what it is. But essentially, it might still be true for regular Shabbos and Yom Tov also. So what emerges from our Tosfos? What's the takeaway right now from this Tosfos? Pesach night, you have to wait till it's dark in order to have your Seder. Why? Because of matzah. Regular, according to the first answer, a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can start earlier, but Pesach is different because of matzah. And according to the second answer, no, even a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't. Which may contradict what we're used to seeing. Right, especially those of you from places in the world like London where it gets dark much later in the summer. And certainly probably are familiar with summertime earlier meals. So our practice, we've seen this. But yet the second view in Tosfos is that, no, Shabbos also you have to wait till dark. So what's behind all this? Right, Tosfos' position that gives us a machlokes on a regular Friday night, can you start your meal early? Can you have your meal early? That we see is a machlokes, 2 days in Tosfos. And according to both of them, Pesach you can't because of an additional component of matzah. That's what we have on our page here. So what is the background here? What exactly is going on? Is there one fundamental question that's being posed? You long with the glasses, right?
Yeah.
Right, so.
I think they want one higher person to hold that the Shabbos thought when Shabbos, when the new day comes, so that's when the night comes.
So Shabbos only begins when it's actually dark outside. It's not Shabbos before. Okay.
The other one said, I guess, you can start, the other said,
okay, so that does seem very much like it's the issue here, right? Let's just flesh out a little bit more, but that does seem like that's what we're talking about. That we know, and we'll explain how we know this more in a minute, but we know there is a halacha of Tosefta Shabbos. Right? It's not just a convenience in the summertime, but there is an obligation of starting Shabbos early. So what the question is, maybe, is what happens when you do that? So according to one opinion, it's actually Shabbos, and therefore, on a normal Shabbos, you can have your meal then, because Shabbos has started. And Pesach is an exception because of matzah. According to the other opinion, that even on a regular Shabbos you can't do that. So then apparently Shabbos does not start until it starts. So then what is Tosefta Shabbos according to that opinion? A little mysterious. And so we'll have to try to understand that also. But I think your overall framing is probably correct, right? Is it actually Shabbos or is it something else? That's something we're going to have to try to understand. Sam?
The idea of Tosefta Shabbos to me seems like a thing. Try to start Shabbos early and it's not Shabbos.
It sounds a little paradoxical. Yeah. It's either Shabbos or it isn't. So what do the words even mean, start Shabbos early? That your query? How does it even make sense? Okay, so let's try to give a little bit of an introduction to the concept of Tosefta Shabbos and see how we can explore the mystery of this Tosfos. So, first of all, where does Tosefta Shabbos come from? So, the Gemara, if you had a chance to see the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I gave in the middle of the morning, started giving a few Makaris if you had a chance to see. You may not have gotten up to it, but I'll give you more about this tomorrow. But the Gemara, Mesachas Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes, the Gemara understands it based on a pasuk, which gives us the impression that we're talking about a Din Minat Torah here, and that's how many of the Rishonim understood that it's a pasuk in the context of one day a year. What day is that? Yom Kippur, exactly. And it's a pasuk in Parshas Emor. Talks about fasting on what day? The 9th of Tishrei. So that doesn't seem to be correct, right? When's Yom Kippur? Pop quiz. When's Yom Kippur every year? The 10th of Tishrei. So why is the Torah talking about fasting on the 9th of Tishrei? It's a pretty important detail to get right. You don't want to be confused as to what Yom Kippur is. So the Gemara actually has two answers to this question in two different places. In Maseches Brachos, the Gemara understands this to be a reference to the idea we mentioned yesterday in a different context of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. That we should eat on Erev Yom Kippur maybe to prepare for the fast in Yom Kippur, and the Gemara there says that whoever eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if he fasted 2 days. So that's why the Torah talks about fasting on the 9th also. Credited with fasting on the 9th if you eat on that day, paradoxically. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a different approach, and the Rosh Hashanah discussed why there are two different answers to this question. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, no, why does it talk about fasting on the 9th? Because you have to fast on a little bit of the 9th. And the language is Shemosifin Michal HaKodesh. That we take from the weekday and we add on to the Kodesh with that. So it's not only the 10th that we fast, but we borrow a little bit from the 9th, so it makes sense to say we fast on the 9th. Awesome. So here you have it, derived from a pasuk. The Gemara says, Mosifin Michal HaKodesh, that we start the holy day earlier. Now, even though the context of that Gemara is Yom Kippur, the vast majority of the Rishonim understand that it's relevant not only to Yom Kippur, but also the general statement, Mosifa Michol HaKodesh, so it's relevant to every Shabbos and to every Antif. Homer, question about that? Sorry? You say because Yom Kippur is more chomer than everything else, so why should we imagine that it applies to everything? You mean the other days don't seem to be as chomer, so why should you bring it backwards? It's an interesting point, but indeed we'll see that there is at least one notable exception to this view that all the other Rishonim have. But the statement of the Gemara that it's a general value, Mosifim Michal HaKodesh, so most of the Rishonim see that as a general idea, that Kedusha should be embraced with extra. And we see that Lahalacha, we assume that it does apply to Shabbos and every Yontif, every single Yontif without exception, with the only exception of Rosh Hashanah and the first days of Sukkot and the last days of Sukkot and the first days of Pesach, Shavuos, and Tisha B'Av. But other than that, it applies to everything without exception. What I mean by that is, you'll see, talk about it a little bit more, that there's a quirk for every Yontif almost. Every Yontif, there's some issue that gets in the way of a smooth application of Tosefet Shabbos to that Yontif. It's pretty much only the last days of Pesach that doesn't have any complications as far as Tosefet Yontif is concerned, but and Yom Kippur where it starts. But everything else, there's some kind of a complication. Maybe we'll try to look at that a little bit. But most of the Rishonim do understand that in theory it applies to all of the Yom Tovim and to every Shabbos based on this Gemara of Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. Now, Omer's point is well taken, that it's not incredibly obvious that it should be extended. And indeed, there is at least one, or two, possibly at least one notable exception to this group, and that is the Rambam. And at the Rambam, he is a minimalist. And to give this one of the few sources sent around today, if you got a chance to see, the Rambam just applies exactly what's in the Gemara. But he doesn't expand it at all. So that means, what do you see if you're only reading exactly what's in the Gemara? So only Yom Kippur. And even as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, not everything about Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur could be divided into two halves. What do we mean by that? There's the Isser Malach on Yom Kippur, like Shabbos, and there's the fast. And the language of the pasuk that the Gemara is picking up on is about the fast of Yom Kippur. So the Rambam only records that in Mishneh Torah, that there's a mitzvah to start the fast of Yom Kippur early. He doesn't say anything about the Yisra Malacha on Yom Kippur, and he doesn't talk about every other Shabbos and Yom. So he is in a different camp than most of the Rishonim, maybe partially because of what Omer is saying. It's really not so obvious it should be extended. But that's his view, that we only have it by the fast of Yom Kippur. And it's a discussion, does the Rambam acknowledge Tosefes Shabbos, at least Midrabanan? So many Achronim thought the Rambam held that Tosefes Shabbos is Midrabanan. And there are those, if you saw some of the Dosei Kalim on the side of the Rambam, point out that he doesn't talk about it at all. So as far as we know, maybe the Rambam doesn't have Tosefes Shabbos, Midhatorah, or Midrabanan. But that's basically the range that you have. Most of the Rishonim saying Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif in general is a Din Min HaTorah. The Rambam applying it only to Yom Kippur and only to the fast of Yom Kippur. And whether he acknowledges Tosefes Midrabanan, that's a machlokes. Now, one point to keep in mind is we already saw that the Rambam's going to have to answer for something if he doesn't acknowledge Tosefes Shabbos. And even if he says it's Drabbanan and not Daraisa, he's going to have to answer for at least one source, right, that we saw Tosus refer to just now. I mean, what's that source? The Gemara in Brachos that says black on white that you can make Kiddush on Friday afternoon when it's still light outside. So how does the Rambam deal with that if there's no Tosefes Shabbos Min HaTorah, Kiddush is a mitzvah Min HaTorah, and especially if there's no Tosefes Shabbos at all? That's something we'll have to come back to. But on the surface, that's the machlokas we showed him. I think you had a question before. Okay, Sam?
Could the machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim be about whether Tosefes Shabbos is a hither or a gather to not be over the Isra of Kippur?
Okay, very interesting. So the gather part, I understand. Explain the hither part.
It's starting the idea of starting the taking the what's it called, the Kol HaMinyan Kodesh, that if there's an idea of elevating to Kedusha, one would think that part of maybe the elevation would be the anticipation and starting earlier.
Kind of in the spirit of his reason.
To make the transition more meaningful, or not meaningful, like you feel, but in like showing that that's your actual goal and you're rushing to it.
Okay, that's excellent. So that very likely is possible, but you're a step beyond us because you're basically explaining the reasoning, which may very well be the reasoning. First question is just as far as the lumdus, and then the reasoning might indeed be what you're saying. So on a lumdishal level, what's the question here? Seems like the question is that Tosefes Shabbos exists, but what does it mean? What's the implication of starting Shabbos early? Is it that you have the power to actually create Shabbos out of Chol, which would be quite a thing? Right? Is that the idea that when you bring in Shabbos early, it's now fully Shabbos? So therefore, you can fulfill the obligations of Shabbos during that time also, and you can have your meal then? Or should we say that no, you don't have that power. Only God can tell you what Shabbos is. Shabbos is when it is, when it's dark. What you can do is you can pretend it's Shabbos. You can abstain from malacha earlier. But that doesn't have any effect on reality. It's not going to be Shabbos. So if you have a mitzvah to eat a suda on Shabbos, you can't do that in the time that you just happen to be abstaining from malacha. Omer? Correct. Right, so clearly it's got to start somewhere, right? You can't say that just on a random day, boom, it's Shabbos, and all of a sudden it's Shabbos now. So clearly it has to have some adjacency to actual Shabbos. La halacha, we assume, even though there was some dissent on this, But we assume that the zone for Tosafot Shabbos is only from Plag HaMincha on Friday afternoon. We say by which side? Right, so you can get in trouble because it's not always enough time. So in the summer, you're not going to necessarily get that much earlier. Right, but your Plag HaMincha is not going to get you that early during the summertime in England, when Shki is very late. So the time is significant. Now, there was some dissent about that, that maybe you could start even earlier, but the halacha, that's how we generally assume that Plag HaMincha is the time. So it's not, it reduces the chiddush a little bit. You can't just decide that Tuesday morning is Shabbos, but still to create Friday afternoon and turn it into Shabbos, that's pretty impressive. And so we'll call that, if we want to name the different positions, you can call that the ambitious school, right? The idea that we could really be partners with the Ribono Shel Olam and actually turn Friday afternoon into Shabbos. There's a Kirov organization that runs a program called Turn Friday Night into Shabbos. So, okay, Friday night is ready Shabbos. You make it Shabbos by how you relate to it. But to turn Friday afternoon into Shabbos, that's a chiddush. So, to say that's possible, that's pretty interesting. Now, if it is, I have a question about that.
Yeah, what about, Yom Tov, we say that, it is. We all part of, creating the day.
Right, I was thinking about that. So, the language in Kiddush is different. Right, the fact that when it comes to Yontif, the Gemara explains, so in Kiddush for Yontif, we say, Mekadish Yisrael v'hazmanim. On Shabbos, we don't put Yisrael into the phrasing. And the explanation is because we have a say in when Yontif is going to be. Because since Yontif is a day in the month, and we have an obligation of Kiddush HaChodesh, again, yesterday's Parsha, so last week's Parsha, so therefore we can impact when Yontif is. So Yisrael has a role in bringing about Yontif. But Shabbos, we have no say in. Shabbos is going to be Saturday no matter what. Parenthetically, there's what to talk about as far as that's concerned also, but on the surface that seems true. Right? That Shabbos is pretty set. So Yontif, I could have heard it a little bit. At least there's some concept of human involvement in when Yontif starts. But Shabbos doesn't seem to have any, so to say that we can bring in Shabbos early, that's pretty impressive. Now, if we do say that's possible, so then to go to Sam's point of the reasoning, probably we understand it, right? We understand why we would do it. The Tamei HaMitzvos is probably intuitive, that it's an expression of embracing Kedusha. That we don't want to just wait for Kedusha to come and slap us in the face, but we want to actively embrace it. So therefore, we welcome Shabbos in before we absolutely have to. You've heard of the concept of the Erev Shabbos Yid, who would get ready very early on a Friday afternoon and sit there in the Shabbos clothes, ready and waiting for the Shabbos Queen to come, the whole notion of what Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to represent. So we know there's a certain mentality of eagerly welcoming Shabbos, not just saying, oh, I can't believe I got to stop doing whatever I want to do because Shabbos started, but you're very happy to bring it in. So the Tamei HaMitzvos is easier to understand there, that if, as much as it's harder to believe that we have that power to actually bring Shabbos in, but if that's the case, then we understand what it's about. Then the theme behind it is probably intuitive. But if it's not really Shabbos, and we're just pretending, we're just abstaining from Malacha for however long, so then why would we do that? Why is there a mitzvah to do that? So Sam addressed that also. Right? That maybe it is essentially a buffer zone. Right? That maybe we want to protect ourselves from not being mechalel Shabbos. Now there is a medrash that makes this point. There is a medrash in Parshas Bereishis that makes this point. Because there they ask the question, which Chazal ask in a few places and give different answers. So why the pasuk we say when we recite Kiddush, we talk about God creating the world, finishing His creation on the seventh day. So what's the problem with that statement? If we say that God created the world in 6 days, so that He finished it before the seventh day. Why do we say that He finished it on the seventh day? So we've heard this question in a few answers in different places. Menucha was a creation. But this particular medrash suggests that it's all about perception. That really God finished in the last gazilla second of day six. And then immediately stopped. But if we had been there watching this, it would have looked to us like it was finishing on day seven. Because so narrow, the one gazilla second between day six and day seven, we wouldn't be able to perceive it. It would look to us like the continuation of the Malacha was going into Shabbos itself. So commenting on that, the Medrash says that because we're human and we can't really measure time so precisely, that's separate from the whole question, the whole machlokas, when Shabbos actually starts. There's so many levels of suffix to get past to try to figure out when Shabbos really starts. But let's say we knew Shabbos starts at 6:13 and 24 seconds. But how do you know when 6:13 and 24 seconds is? And how do you know you're not going to forget for a second? So to go right up to the border for human beings is not really practical. For God, it's practical. For us, it's not practical. So, building on that, says the Medrash, Mikan Shemosifin Michal HaKodesh, that same line. The idea that we should add on to Shabbos is because of this distinction between God and His creation. So, we need that extra space. So that, I think, Sam, is pretty much the two sides you were saying, right? That either it's we're eagerly accepting Shabbos because we're excited, or, and then that corresponds to the aspirational school that we mentioned, that you actually have the ability to partner with God and bring in Shabbos earlier than it would be. Or, you have the other possibility that, no, you can't do that. But still, you create the space so that you shouldn't be mechalel Shabbos. And let's say we'll call that the pragmatic school. So that gives us two different theories as to what Tosefes Shabbos is. Is Tosefes Shabbos actually beginning Shabbos early? Or is it just a buffer zone that doesn't actually start Shabbos? And therefore, we're not able to fulfill positive mitzvahs. If we have an obligation to do something on Shabbos, we can't do it during that time because it's not actually Shabbos. And to whatever extent, Yontif, in each case, is going to have its own requirements, so that it's going to be subject to the same question. Is it really Yontif yet? Or is it just we're abstaining from Malacha, we're preparing for the Yontif, but Yontif hasn't really begun until it actually begins. So this question, as we'll see, it'll take us a day or two to explore all the different avenues of this, and they're very practical. So we'll see, this is a big issue. And this has many different applications. But just for today, so let's try to just understand what the Tosafos in front of us is saying, and then we'll see tomorrow how this branches out into other issues. So it seems like this is the machlokas in Tosfos, right? That according to the second opinion in Tosfos, that you can't do it any day of the year, not on Pesach or on a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov either, which is probably at variance with what a lot of us have seen in practice. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But according to that second view in Tosfos, it's not Shabbos, it's not Pesach. We are just abstaining from Malacha early, presumably for the purposes of creating a buffer zone. and you cannot fulfill the positive obligations. So Suda Shabbos, no. And Pesach, don't even begin. For sure, matzah, all these active mitzvahs, Pesach night, no way. Shabbos, you still could have made a difference. You could have said, okay, Shabbos, listen, what is it just about Suda? So Suda, you really theoretically maybe can make the case, could even be before Shabbos starts, because it's an honor of Shabbos. How do you know it has to actually be on Shabbos? You could handle a little bit. But when it comes to Pesach, okay, here we have actual mitzvos min haTorah that have to be on Pesach. So we could see why there's a difference. But according to the second view of Tosfos, isn't really a difference. And no day of the year can you start it early. So therefore, Tosefis must just be a buffer zone. Now, parenthetically, it's interesting. We've mentioned that, we mentioned more last semester for those who were here, we talked about the idea that some mitzvos in the Torah are there to protect other mitzvos. And, like we talked a little bit also in Parshashir, or sometime in the past few days, spoke about this a little bit, that one of the most prominent examples of that is Bayirah. Bayirah, Bayimatzeh, the idea of not owning chametz on Pesach. The Ran, in the beginning of our Masechta, says that that is to keep us from eating chametz on Pesach. And that seems to be an example of a siag min haTorah, of a mitzvah min haTorah that's there to protect another din. It's not there for its own reason, it's there to protect another din. And we mentioned then that Rav Yosef Engel, who died 100 years ago, in one of his svarim has this list. Do we ever find a siag min haTorah? Do we ever find dinim min haTorah that are there to protect other dinim min haTorah? And one item on his list is that Ran, that Bayirah Bayimatzeh is there to protect us from eating chametz. Another item on his list is that Medrash that we just mentioned. The idea that Tosef HaShabbos, which according to most Rishonim is also a Din Min HaTorah, like we said, and that's there, according to that Medrash, to protect us from Chilul Shabbos. The Torah says, start early in order to prevent us from being Mechal Shabbos. So that seems to be the view of the second day in Tosfos. But according to the first day in Tosfos, that you have this issue only for Pesach night. On a regular Friday night, you can start early. But Pesach night is an exception. So why is it an exception? So Tosfos says, because matzah is connected to the two other aspects of Maror and Pesach, and they require Laila based on the pasuk. So the explanation of Tosfos, Reb Chaim spoke about it, but presumably the language is actually registered here in Tosfos, that what Tosfos is basically saying is that the mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, it's not enough for it to be Pesach. You could tell me that Tosefes is 100% that day. It's 100% Shabbos, it's 100% Pesach, whatever you want, if you're bringing it in. Let's assume that Tosefes brings it in 100%. But still, the mitzvah of matzah, it's not enough that it's Pesach. It has to be Pesach night. So let's say I were to wait until the next morning to have my Seder. It's Pesach min haTorah on every level. But it's not Pesach night. So if I can't be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah the next morning, so presumably I also can't be Yotze too early either. That if Pesach could extend in the other direction and start an hour before it gets dark, so even if that was pure Pesach, fully Pesach 100%, that doesn't mean that I should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah then. Now, that doesn't mean that no Rishon could possibly disagree with that. But this view, which seems to be the dominant view, that Pesach, indeed, you can't start early, we can understand as a function of that. That even if Tosefes really turns Yontif into Yontif, but for the purposes of Matzah, we're going to need something more. Does that make sense? Everybody following? So just to say a word about the practical implications, it actually came up a little bit more this past Pesach because of the corona situation and the question of some of the compromises and situations people were in terms of starim and the like. And we'll see, it also had implications in other actual, if I get to a little bit tomorrow. So the question came up, how crucial is this din of waiting till later? Is there any possibility of starting Pesach and starting the Seder earlier? So there's a couple of details that are subject to some discussion. One is, first of all, even though this Tosfos assumes according to both days, you can't. There is one view in Rishonim that disagrees, that theoretically says that once you start Pesach, the Seder can come with that. Again, it's not a view that we normally rely on without some kind of pressure, but it does exist in Rishonim, just to make that point. And also, the question is, so fine, so matzah has to wait, but what about other aspects? Is there any other part of the Seder I can start early? People will sing a lot at the beginning of the Seder, so maybe there's a lot of time you can pick up if you start the Seder before the matzah part. So then what about that? That should give you some significant time. So the problem is, and we'll talk about this more, but the issue really seems to kick in already when it comes to Kiddush. And that's really by the very beginning. That even by Kiddush, we have a problem starting before, even though Kiddush isn't matzah itself. But, just to give a little bit of a headline what the issue is, either Kiddush is a problem because it's Kiddush, and Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda, and the Suda can't start yet, and therefore Kiddush also can't start yet, so some understand. Or maybe it's because Kiddush is doing double duty, right? So it's Kiddush and it's also the first of the Dalet Kosos. And maybe the Dalet Kosos are also a part of this package, and that also requires Laila. So L'chadchila, it's difficult, we don't have much wiggle room, because L'chadchila, to satisfy all the mainstream views in Rishonim, we generally assume that even Kiddush can't start early, and early means before it's Seisach Kohaga. So that keeps things kind of late. Theoretically, is there wiggle room? So if one holds the whole thing can start early, and if one were to be more makel by the Kiddush, for whatever reason, and if one were to assume that at least Shkia, the beginning of Enosh Moshos, so then that's where there's some room for discussion in terms of the practicalities. But under normal circumstances, we find L'chadchila, we're normally machmer, that Kiddush is when we're starting, and that Kiddush has to wait for night. Night is defined by Seisach Kohaga. So that's what ends up pushing things late. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so we have a lot more to figure out about the application of this, and how does this apply to Shabbos and Yantif, because we see there's a machlokus and Tosfos about Shabbos. So we will pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow. So I want to review what we spoke about quickly. Also, one practical question. So do you guys want to daven mincha up here? You want to go to the Beis Medrash? What Beis Medrash? Want to daven up here? That's okay? Okay, so I'll just quickly recap what we spoke about, and we'll daven here. So what were the highlights we spoke about? We spoke about the question of the Isser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. What exactly is the reasoning for that? Is it because it's a Dibbana Torah, perhaps? Sounds like it's Dibbana Rabbanan, but what possibility could have Dibbana Torah? Well, either because of the Hekesh to Pesach, and Pesach has to be only at night and not earlier, or because of the Diyuk on the Erev Tochlu Matzos, like the Hag points out. It's presumably the Rabbanan, either because of Teyavon, like the Miri, or because of the Heker, like the Rambam. And then we talked about when does it start. The Balamor says it can only start with the time of the Isser Chametz. And he focuses on the comparison to Arusa in order to make that point. The Ramban and the Rambam both say it's all day. The Ramban says, even if you want to say it's about the Isser Chametz, but that starts already with Bedika, already on the anti-Chametz crusade. And we talked a little bit about what the relationship would be, why would we care about Chametz, and how would it parallel Arusa. We talked about whether it's both about creating an exclusion of everything else and then narrowing in to that one mitzvah. We talked about how they both have a imagery of having to have everything put in place before the mitzvah should start, and anything earlier than that is impacting on that. We talked about whether it's possible to have the status of chametz before there is an iser of matzah. We talked about also, as far as the whole heker is concerned, how does that require a mitzvah connection in order to interfere with the heker. And also, if the bat teyavon, presumably it's hard to see why it should be tied into what works for the mitzvah, what doesn't work for the mitzvah. It presumably should be tied into how long it takes you to have an appetite, and the minig to wait for a month. I can understand more in terms of that spirit, that maybe it's going to take you longer than a day to develop a longing for matzah. We talked also about the question of the emerges from Rashi and Tosfos and Tavid Ishchet, that they did the lechem apanim on Erev Pesach, and how do you understand that? And the Shachma dealt with it, and it brings up the question of what if you have matzah that tastes like matzah, but you can't be yotzei the mitzvah with? Is that different? So that we saw a little bit, and Tosfos and others point that out, that maybe that should work, but the problem is maybe that's different from egg matzah, because even if you say like our Tosfos, the egg matzah is okay, but maybe that's because it tastes different, something that tastes the same. Maybe it wouldn't be that story, and it all depends on how that all plugs in. Just one more point, we'll maybe add about that a little bit tomorrow. And then we started to talk about Tosafot Shabbos and Yontif, and our Tosfos asked the question, why does the Mishnah say Ashad Hechshech? Normally we can have our Friday night meal early, so why don't we just say until the Seder, but the Seder starts whenever it starts. And Tosfos had the two answers, either that Pesach is different because matzah requires night, or no, even in Shabbos, you know, if you can't do it either, you always have to wait till dark. So we assume that that question all ties into the issue of what is Tosafot Shabbos about. It emerges from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes that there is a din of Tosafot Shabbos based on the pasuk by fasting on the 9th of Tishrei, and therefore the Gemara says you should adam michal kodesh. Most of Rishonim understand that as a general statement that every Shabbos and Yom Tov you should start early. But the Rambam is a notable exception. Rambam says that it's only about Yom Kippur and only about the fast of Yom Kippur, and it's machlokas on the commentaries whether he acknowledges Tosafos midrabbanan or not at all. And either way, he's going to have to deal with the Gemara, which says that you can make Kiddush Friday afternoon while it's still light outside. So we assume that there's basically two schools of thought, either that you actually create Shabbos with your Tosafos, and we understand what the reasoning then would be, because you're expressing a desire for more Kiddush in your life, or that no, you don't actually create Shabbos, you're just creating a Isser Malacha. Why? So presumably to make a buffer zone, so you shouldn't violate Malacha on Shabbos. That's what the Medrash seems to understand is the whole purpose. And if Yosef Engel notes, that would also be another example of a Siag Min HaTorah. So it sounds like the idea that you can question about Shabbos that Tosfos brings up is totally on that. But Pesach, according to both, would be different. Why? Because matzah requires Laila, and Laila is not enough for it to be called Pesach. It has to be called Pesach night. And the next morning is fully Pesach, but it's not Pesach night. So Tosefos also wouldn't count. You noted that there is a little bit of a dispute in the Rishonim on that, even though this is the dominant view. So in terms of circumstances that are difficult, like has come up during the Corona situation, there is some room for debate, but the most common position is that we wait until it's fully dark for all parts of the Seder, and we mean until Seisach Kochav. Theoretically, where are the rooms for a dispute? That maybe that even on Pesach night that one could do Kid the Seder in the time of Tosefos, or maybe it wouldn't have to apply to Kiddush also. Maybe we could wait until we got up to Matzah to have the issue, and the whole question of the Suffolk of Shkia and Seisach Kochav, the Ben Hashmashos, all of that is where there is some room for a debate, but those are basically the parameters of the issue. Okay, any questions? Everybody good? Okay, so we will close there. Do we have a volunteer to lead us in Mincha?